Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Welcome and thank you for joining us. The show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence is ready to get going. Welcome to the Business Builder Show. I'm Marty Wolf, and along with my sidekick, Carrie Carney, and our producer, Tom Jenkins, we are here every week to offer tips to help you build your business and your career. Our special guest today is Todd Eardley. Todd is the president and CEO of Vidion Central, which is based in State College, Pennsylvania. Todd is going to share his true life experiences of success and failures as an entrepreneur, and he will share some what I consider brilliant insights on entrepreneurship. His focus will be on how to fund your gig, if you will, taking on partners or not taking on partners, and he's also going to talk about how he's helped build a community of entrepreneurs who support each other and drive economic progress. To connect us to those lessons, Carrie and Tom, my research took me to two articles that I feel pretty good are a good fit for our show on our focus on entrepreneurship, and I'm pumping my fists in the air saying entrepreneurship. My people, right?
They need good leaders.
They need good information, and so we're going to do our best to deliver it. So, Carrie, the first thing we saw, and I know you studied yesterday, in between watching different kind of classic movies and preparing for things that you had, exciting things you had going on last night, but first thing we are going to talk about is something from a gentleman named Dave Anderson, and I got this from the Forbes Leadership LinkedIn group, and he has an article, Teamwork, Rookies versus Veterans. And he starts out the article by saying, "That's not going to work," in quotes. And he says, "Every time my most experienced people said this, I cringed. I had a team with 8 veterans and 4 rookies. I soon realized that our team's experience was killing innovation. Our team's experience was killing innovation." Carrie, pretty interesting article in terms of contrasting, you know, whether to have the classic veteran with all that experience versus the rookie with all that enthusiasm.
Yeah, that you know, we're in the month of March, and March Madness is going on, and you see a lot of that in the NCAA.
Yeah.
The fab rookies playing a more seasoned veteran team.
Yes.
So I thought the timing was excellent.
It was. I didn't connect that at all when I looked at this, but that was a great connection. It's an excellent connection. So Dave talks about, you know, let's contrast, you know, rookies versus veterans, the good and the bad. And he starts out by saying, what's the good thing about rookies?
Well, you're going to find when you bring rookies in, they have a fresh view on life, and especially in business, towards older issues. The rookies haven't failed before, so they're just bubbling to get right into it and go at it and try to bring new and creative solutions to standard problems.
They push the envelope because they don't even know where the envelope started.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Don't even care about an envelope. They just go for it, right? That's a good thing.
That's an absolutely fantastic thing.
What's the bad thing about rookies?
However,
okay.
Rookies like to chase shiny objects.
Yes, they sometimes do.
In this article, he talks about rookies can also chase rabbits down paths that have proven to be lost causes.
Right. And so they may lose track of their productivity as they're kind of moving forward on that, too. Okay, let's move on to some veterans. What are some the good things about having veterans or those experienced people? What's a good thing about those guys?
You just said it. Veterans provide the wisdom that can only come from experience.
Yes, that's a good thing.
Because
having that depth of something that didn't work before and probably will never work again, most of the time, is probably a good thing.
Well, if I could add right there, in Dr. Covey's book, 7 Habits,
okay.
He references Dr. Viktor Frankl, the author of Man's Search for Meaning. Through a veteran, you're going to get, and the rookies have it, everybody has their own lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And your lenses are made up of experiential, mm-hmm. things that have happened to you, a creative side, or the we, what you personally bring to the table, and then an attitudinal, mm-hmm. how you respond to conflict. So the rookie has that lens, and the veteran has that lens.
And the lens is the way they see things.
How they perceive a problem, and then come up with solutions.
There you go.
But that could also be a bad thing about the veterans.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly right.
That's right. We're at the bad thing about that.
It could be the negative thing is because they're rooted in what they've always done, what we've always done around here.
Yep. And a lot of times, veterans' minds just slam shut because they think they know they're veterans. No. No.
Been here, done this.
Exactly.
It's not gonna work.
I already have the T-shirt. No, it's not gonna work.
Yeah. Now, you know what? Even when I read this, guys, I'm thinking like, well, we're going back and forth. So this may be hard to track. So just because there are good and bad. And in your organizations, you just think about, you have your experienced people, you have your rookies. Now, there are some suggestions in how we should manage some rookies. And the first thing he talks about is expect mistakes. They're going to be going for it, right? Well, expect mistakes. It's going to happen. If you're their manager, expect. And a key word is expect, by the way. Expect independence. What does that mean? Gary, do you see where we're at with that? Expect independence.
Well, you want to encourage your rookies to try and put a mark on their own personality and
right.
what they bring to the table.
Right, right.
And
go
so you have
it.
To give them room to grow and then ultimately make a mistake here or there.
Right. And it says in here, and it's a very, very good point, something may not have worked for the veteran, but hey, if it's in some field of possibility, go for it and adapt. And then
in technology and the new technology and innovation, your rookies have that. The vets might not even have heard about what is capable these days.
Right. And the other thing in terms of managing rookies is expect contributions. You've got to empower them. You've got to engage them. So let's move on to some ways a leader should manage the veterans. And he strongly suggests that these veterans should be mentors to the new people. I love this phrase, guide, but don't decide. For the rookies, guide but don't decide. And as you're working with the veterans, if you're the boss, is expect solutions. They, in fact, have some experience. If something absolutely will never work, they should at least speak up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, don't caution against too many shiny objects. And you should expect that from veterans. I love this third point. It said expect restraint from your veterans and even from you as the leader. I love this thought process because you're saying as you're working with your team, don't be the first one to say something is good or bad. You like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Wrap it up. Give me the bottom line on this great article.
Wrap it up. Okay. Well, the bottom line on this is that, you know, you have to manage these people differently. And sometimes you just got to analyze it. You got to see what value the veterans bring. You got to see what value the rookies bring. You got to blend that. You got to look at innovation. You got to put in together with that, with the experience. Basic, I think, Carrie and Tom, is you've got to listen. You've got to listen. You've got to work. Have those people working together, and that will continue to help you innovate and lead your company to success. So, first segment's already wrapping up. So, we are going to be taking a short break. Listen to the Business Builder Show. We will be right back with our interview with Mr. Todd Eardley.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Our special guest today is Mr. Todd Eardley. Hello, Todd.
Hey there, Marty. Great to talk with you.
I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be a lot of fun. Let me introduce Todd. Todd Eardley is the president and CEO of a company called Vidion Central, which he founded in 1997. Todd received his B.S. and M.S. degrees in electrical engineering from Penn State and is a proud native of Center County, which is where Penn State is located. So we have so much to talk about. I'm going to shorten up the introduction because we'll get that all coming out in this conversation, Todd. So again, welcome to the Business Builder Show.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. Look forward to talking with you and your listeners.
So the first place I want to go is Vidion Central is the name of the company. I kind of know what you do, but explain it to me. What products and or services does Vidion Central offer? And kind of tell me a little bit about your customers. What do they look like?
Sure. Let's start it like this. You know, literally, many of the people that might listen to this show could be our customers. Because if you've ever played back a Blu-ray or a DVD, you probably have used our technology. For years and years, since the start of the business, we've been providing Blu-ray and DVD technology to the likes of Samsung, LG, Sony, Toshiba, Panasonic. Now, what does that mean, providing technology? What it means is that when you press the remote control to, say, play, pause, stop a movie, you're talking to our software that sits in the box and makes the box do what it needs to do. So that's how we got started. Now, the problem is that Blu-ray and DVDs aren't the most popular thing in the world. So lately, what we've done is we've flipped to a new technology and transitioned the company to a thing called Avia, A-V-I-A. And Avia is a personal media streaming technology that exists in the Google Play market. And so it goes out and it looks at your tech, at your products, be it a phone or a tablet or a computer, and it finds your personal media and allows you to play that back from that phone or send it to a TV or what have you. So Avia is our new move forward, and that's being sold to consumers, and it's also being whitelisted, white branded, and sold to LG, Samsung, Sony, and companies like that.
Fascinating. Happening out of beautiful State College, Pennsylvania. I love
this.
You
believe it.
And again, the show is in several markets. And as we talk, Todd, I want to remind entrepreneurs and our listeners that some of the things that you're going to be sharing can be applied wherever you are. But let's back up a little bit. So that was a great explanation. I finally understand now, Todd.
Awesome. Thank you. And please buy our product, Marty.
We're not going to talk about credit cards or anything like that, Todd. Not just yet. Okay.
All good.
Let's back up. How did you get started? I mean, where did this idea come from? I mean, it's kind of unusual. So did you see a need, or how did all this start?
I started a company here in State College, Pennsylvania, and I really did not know what I was doing, and ultimately that company failed. And, you know, with entrepreneurs, I tend to look at people as being entrepreneurial based on their willingness to take a risk, willingness to pivot, willingness to fail. So I'm very, very willing to do all three of those things. And so when my first company failed, the only logical thing was take a risk, possibly fail again, but definitely pivot. And so I said, look, I have some very smart people I could get my hands on. Why don't I start an engineering service company? And we knew something about optical disc technology. This was happening in 97. So I went out to the West Coast. I borrowed $3,500 from my father. I paid for my ticket to the West Coast, and I went knocking on doors, and I said, if you will give me a $5,000 down payment, I will sell you engineering services for $40 an hour, and I'll guarantee that rate for no less than 6 months. I came back from the West Coast. 2 weeks later, I had $10,000. A month later, we had $40,000. And in the first 6 months, we did $500,000 in sales.
Wow.
All I did was I went to the customer. I made a big ask. I gave them a value proposition. I showed them what we could do. And then the opportunity to sell and to receive result of that sale was obvious.
Great story. A real entrepreneurial story. Great story. So that part went well. You got customers right out of the gate there. Some other thoughts in terms of your growth at the beginning, like some other ideas of what went well in terms of the growth of the business at the beginning.
Well, what went well is, you know, initially you get that first customer and you say, wow, I have a company and this customer loves me. And then what I realized I needed to do is, you know, one customer does not make a company, you know, 75% of the business. Mm-hmm. So what are the attributes of that customer? What do other customers look like that might resemble that customer? So then I started to go out and hard target a wider set of customers. And so I approached that and I expanded my customer base.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to my customers, you know, you have lots of people calling on you to utilize your technology, and you came to me because you needed extra help. Are there customers that you just can't service? And my customers said, well, of course. And they look like this. And I said, well, hey, how about we make a deal? I'll continue to help you, but for all those customers that you can't service, tell them about me, and I'll go help them. So what I did, Marty, was I effectively turned my customers into my sales group.
Wow.
And through that, I started to get into alternative markets. For instance, high-end home theater. For instance, supplying product for in-flight entertainment associated with private jets. It wasn't because I knew those markets. It's because my customers became my selling agents and drove opportunity to me.
Wow. Brilliant. That's excellent. It really is excellent. Yeah, I want to talk about challenges, but I want to back up, and I kind of let it pass, but I shouldn't have, and Carrie just wrote me a note. Go back to something you said, pivot. So what was the first things that you said there? You said, take a risk.
Yeah, I think there's three critical things of entrepreneurs. I think there's three critical things of people in general as it applies to the working world. How willing are you to take a risk? Okay, so everybody should think right now, do I like risk or do I not like risk? And then, depending on how much risk you want to take, you might fail. Do you accept failure? Do you get stuck in failure? And then once you get to that failure point or near to that failure point, are you willing to pivot? Are you willing to significantly change who you are, what you do, how you do it?
Mm.
And what I find is serial entrepreneurs and serial intrapreneurs, just as important as being an entrepreneur, have high amplitudes on risk, pivot, and failure.
Pivot so meaning you make adjustments?
You make adjustments. So I'll give you a for instance. I started an engineering service-based company. I am now a product-based company.
Mm.
For us to flip from service to product required deep thinking, deep learning, failure points on my behalf as far as how I led my team, how I constructed my team, how we spent money on research. It was a hard pivot. It was fraught with failure. But if I wanted to stay relevant with the market trends, I needed to switch.
Hmm. Interesting. Brutal facts of reality.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You had to take
yes.
a look at it. You had to make some adjustments. Okay. So things were going well. We've got about a minute or so before we have to close out this segment. We have a lot more to talk about, but some primary challenges or problems, whatever you want to call them, at the beginning. You talked a little bit about it, but anything specific that like really hit you upside the head?
Well, I think that there are two things that would be worth talking about. It would be funding, and it would be how you construct partnerships and build a business. And,
mm-hmm.
and we'll quickly hit the funding thing. When you start a company with no money and you aren't bankable, you have to find creative ways to really, really, really build yourself. And so what I did was I used customer money as much as possible, getting
mm-hmm.
down payments, early payments, accelerated payments, factoring, all sorts of things. People immediately think to start a company, they need to get a bank loan or they need to get venture money or angel money. That's simply not the case.
Yes.
You can utilize your customer. If you have a worthwhile product or service to offer, your customer can be your bank.
Yes, and we are hearing that repeatedly, Todd. That is such good advice. If you don't be creative, number one, like you were, be creative. Think of the options. Don't go to the bank so quick. Don't go to investors so quick. That is such an important lesson. We talk a lot about that on the show. So we need to take a short break. We are with Todd Eardley of Videon Central. We will be right back after these short messages.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. We are having fun and we are learning from our guest today, Todd Eardley, and he is the president and CEO of a company called Videon Central. Todd, the best way for people to connect with you, what would you suggest?
Well, the best way to learn about Videon and a little bit about me is you can go to our website, www.videon-central.com. And there's all sorts of information about the company. There's videos, and you can get to my email there. And love to talk to people more about business as the opportunity arises.
That actually sets us up beautifully for what I want to talk to you about now. You like working with other entrepreneurs. You are obviously comfortable in the space talking about this. You started something in your market area, which I want to remind people, can some of these ideas can be applied no matter where you are. You started something called CREN, C-R-E-N. What does that stand for, and what's it all about?
CREN, really simple. Center Region Entrepreneurial Network. It could be Kansas Regional Entrepreneur Network. It can be anywhere Regional Entrepreneur Network. What is it about? There are chambers of business and industry, and they tend to be networking and selling opportunities. They're not that great necessarily for entrepreneurs that are creating growth and small business type of entities. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I said, hey, let's get together as an entrepreneurial community. Let's come together and let's just come with one simple rule. Be more interested in those that you're talking to than you are telling your own story. Mm. And if everybody comes with that mindset, all of a sudden you start to learn about one another and you learn about connections. And guess what? You start talking about best practices. And pretty soon you start to have a beautiful network of discussions start to form. And so CREN was started 4 or 5 years ago, and we just had an event here at Vidion about 2 or 3 weeks ago where we had almost 200 people attending.
Wow. That's great, Todd. So it's working out really well, obviously.
It is working out really well, and I just want to point out that this is an opportunity for people to get to know each other that they didn't even know existed in this community. And that's the beauty of it, just bringing entrepreneurs together in a very safe haven to learn about this thing called entrepreneurship and business building.
Safe haven. Important words there. What would be some of the topics? Like, you have a meeting. What would a meeting look like? What would you, an example of something you might talk about?
Well, people would bring up the topic, have you ever missed payroll? And what did you do about it?
Mm.
What about hiring senior staff? And then we start to talk about this thing about starting a business with partners. And partners, boy, that's a really important topic. That's one where I get a little bit passionate about, because partnerships in businesses when you start are very difficult. People want to start a business and immediately they give up stock to say, well, this is my friend, this is that, blah, blah, blah. And I say, wow, you've made your number one mistake that you'll ever make in a business as soon as you structure it with a lot of partners.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind for a minute, I'd love to hear. This one.
We talked about this, Todd, and you grabbed me with this, so yeah, it's your mic. Go for it, man.
Wonderful. You know, there is a person that's going to have an idea and a person that's going to stand up a business, and you will need partners. But before you get too many partners, I would advise everybody to ask the partnership 4 basic questions. As a partner, do you first and foremost understand that it's unlimited time that you're going to put into the entity? Most people should be able to cross over that hurdle. The second thing that needs to be asked is, do you understand as a partner that pay is a benefit, not a right? Now it gets a little bit more challenging. Mm-hmm. That's mentally difficult for some people.
Mm-hmm.
The third point of a partnership is that as a partner, do you realize that at any point in the business's history that you might have to put money in proportional to your capacity?
Mm.
That one stops a lot of people in their tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, I can work hard. I don't need a salary, but you want me to put money in? Wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
So that starts to say, maybe that person isn't as big of a partner as what they otherwise would be. But the number one and the fourth question in this train of thinking, and the number one most important, is this. This is the big one. Do you understand as a partner that you're going to sign personal guarantees on all financial transactions, including bank loans, that could, if the business fails, cause you to go into personal bankruptcy?
Whoa. Wow.
But that's the whole thing.
Yes.
If you have people that you believe are partners that they're not willing to say yes to all those things, then don't give away 25%. Don't give away 50%. Think about that 5 to 10%. And really use those series of questions, both in the good times and the bad times, to make sure that everybody is of the same thought process.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's solid. And if I may add, the partners should bring real value. In addition to money or the sweat equity, they should bring real value that you wouldn't have otherwise. Is that okay to say, too?
It's absolutely important to say. But here's the other thing that's fascinating about partners. That value is proportional. Let's go back to an earlier point. That value is proportional to their ability to risk, their ability to fail, and their ability to pivot as the company goes through different phases of growth. A partner day one doesn't mean that that partner has the same rights, entitlement, and advantage to the company day 15, day 15 years, mm-hmm. whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So partnerships are a living, breathing element of the organization that's sometimes the most difficult thing for the business owner to truly put together.
Mm, right on. And so we hit two points there. Very, very good. Funding for entrepreneurship and partners. A clinic. That was excellent. Now, I want to move on to something else that, again, we had a conversation about this. You saw, I guess what you're calling an economic imbalance in central PA, in central Pennsylvania, yeah. where you're located. And again, this can apply everywhere else. And we're actually, believe it or not, down to our last couple of minutes, Todd. But you saw this economic imbalance in central PA. What do you mean and what are you doing about that or how are you getting involved?
So economic development really is based on companies that bring money in from the outside world. In many communities, it might be based on one or two major employers. In this area, it was based on Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
And Penn State University, great university, it funds a lot of the growth of this community. But the private sector, the entrepreneurial sector, is not quite as strong as what it needs to be. Penn State creates such a shadow that this could quickly be considered, if we're not careful, a company town.
Mm.
And that true could be applicable to many other communities in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done is I've really pushed hard on the private sector to have a goal. We have a goal here called 3B33, generating $3 billion in annual economic output from the private sector by 2033. That's a fourfold increase from where we are right now. If we achieve that, we create great balance for this town, great opportunity for other business owners, a wonderful quality of life. It's an advantage to everybody. And so this 3B33 thing and this economic balance is a big passion of mine, and it's a way of me and other entrepreneurs saying thank you to all those that created the dynamics that exist within the town to get it to where it is today.
Wow. And I know you're moving forward on that with Kren and with that initiative. And I know you love working with entrepreneurs. You've been helpful to me over the years. I've enjoyed speaking with you. And actually, Todd, unfortunately, we need to wind down. So we have been speaking with Todd Eardley, and he is the president and CEO of Vidion Central. Todd, thank you so much for being part of the Business Builder Show.
Marty, it was an honor. I appreciate the opportunity, and best of luck to all those business builders in your network.
Thanks so much, man. Have a great one.
And you as well.
Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show, Tom and Carrie. How about the insights on partnership from Todd Eardley? There were some people looking at things a little differently after that discussion.
He really netted it out. If you're going to get into bed with somebody, there are four strong points
yeah.
both of you should clearly understand before doing a deal.
We say this at the end of the show, but I want to remind people right now, you can listen to that. You can share that with others if you think it's appropriate by going to businessbuildersglobal.com. Businessbuildersglobal.com. Listen to that for a few times. And if you're a business startup and you're thinking about, you know, seeking funding or partners, listen to that 10 times.
Yes, yes.
Because there is incredible lessons there. So, Todd, thanks so much for great insights. Okay, moving on. In terms of entrepreneurship, that's what we're talking about on our show today. And again, I go back to one of our favorites, which is Inc. Magazine, and by an article by Laura Garnett, L-A-U-R-A Garnett, G-A-R-N-E-T-T. I would suggest you check her out in terms of what a great article she wrote. It is called One Weekly Habit That Will Push You to Peak Performance. And that gets my attention when I hear about something that can improve my performance. She says, this is even better yet in our world today. In 15 minutes a week, you can get closer to your optimal work life. Got my attention again. You know?
I thought about the ab buster. In 15 minutes per week, you too could get abs.
Yeah. Well,
but this is the real deal.
But will this work? That's the question.
This is the real deal.
I think this is the real deal, too. You know? And she talks about athletes go into rhythm. If you're a great musician, don't you have a rhythm?
You
have a style, a rhythm, something that you're doing in terms of helping you get to peak performance. So when you are quote unquote on stage, whether you're an athlete or a musician or whatever, these are the kind of thought processes that she's really talking about. So she has 15 questions, and as everything we do on this show, what I want you thinking about, because we're going to have to kind of go through these quickly, is thinking about how these questions or the thoughts that we share with you relate to you, to your personal life. She's suggesting doing something on Friday afternoons in terms of the questions. Maybe Saturday, maybe Sunday, whatever.
Yeah, to set the table again, take 15 minutes and ask yourself the questions we're going to go over.
There you go.
And then ponder them. And answer them truly.
With the objective being peak performance.
Peak performance.
Okay, here's our first question that she asked me, and I thought about. What was the most enjoyable work activity of the week for you? Most enjoyable work activity of the week. So to help us think a little bit about this, maybe you're at a networking event. And you were just unbelievable. You had a blast.
Met some key people, or I thought about perhaps there was a new rookie employee that you worked with and worked together to find a solution, and you just saw a light bulb or an aha moment in that new employee's face.
Okay.
That's priceless.
It's priceless, and that connects to the next point that she makes or question she asks. How many enjoyable work moments did you have? Connects to what you just said, Carrie. That was a lot of fun. That was very engaging. That warmed my heart. Whatever way you want to look at
effort,
it.
Extra effort. Someone really laying it out there for a customer. You have to tell them about it. And that's going to make them feel great. The customer feel great. And you're going to feel great as a leader because you're seeing what you want to have happen in action.
Point number three. Question number three. I keep calling them points. Question number three. We're kind of reversing ourselves a little bit here. And she asks, how many frustrating or boring moments did you have? How many frustrating or boring moments did you have? I have very few boring moments in my life. We're kind of high speeding around here all the time.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you, I want to bring up a pet peeve, if you'll allow me, Carrie and Tom. Last week, I had two appointments cancel. Last minute, like within 2 hours. Very frustrating. If I can go off task for a little bit, if you're a salesperson and you cancel an appointment for 2 hours, when the appointment is 2 hours from now, you better have a valid reason. Because, boy, that is bad news.
My pet peeve is not just canceling the appointment, but not canceling it, just not showing up.
Oh, that's even worse, Tom. Oh, my goodness.
I had three last week.
Oh, frustrating.
Very frustrating.
And it takes you out of your rhythm. Okay, I'm getting off track. So how many frustrating or boring moments did you have? So think about that. Another question, and I have this one highlighted. How would you describe your impact on others you work with, your customers, or those whom you came in contact with this week? Now, that's connected to what you said, but I thought about, Carrie, our friend Mark Sanborn.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Sanborn wrote the book, The Fred Factor. And when he makes presentations, he says, we are all making a difference. The question is it a positive one
or a negative one?
Yep. Right?
Yep.
So how would you describe your impact on others? And it could be a good one, could be a negative one. Think about that. And if, as you think about that, is this what you want? Is this the impact that you want to have on others? Think about that.
And then that ties right into number six. If it's not the impact, what prompted this change in your desired impact?
Right. Did something happen that threw you off your game? What happened there? All right. So what challenged you this week? What took you out of your comfort zone? That's a good one. Were you bored again? And she's asking that question. And if you were bored, maybe it's because you're in a fast-paced, innovative workplace.
Maybe it's because you're boring.
Maybe it's because you're boring. This Tom guy comes up with some great insights, Gary. Maybe it's because you're boring. Light it up a little bit. You know, get involved. That's a great point. Maybe you are boring. You know, and maybe you should be connected to some rookies. Let's see, another point. How confident did you feel this week? I'm going to move on to the next one, Kerry.
Okay.
Did you have any negative mental chatter about yourself? If you are an entrepreneur, if you're a small business person, what you say to yourself, how you avoid the naysayers, is critical to your success.
Yeah, you're going to doubt decisions, but you have to push through and say, I'm cutting bait or fishing, and I'm going to fish. And you just push through those doubtful moments, but reanalyze them.
That's the point, Gary. That's why I love this thought process. I'm going to start using this, because if you don't think about that and reflect on that, that'll become your mindset. That'll become the way you think. Oh, I'm a downer. I'm never going to make it. I lost my confidence.
Self-fulfilling.
It'll become self-fulfilling. And if you don't think and reflect and say, no, I am confident. I can do it. I can get this done. So there's so many valuable things in terms of this article. And I want to mention the article again, because we're not going to get through the whole thing. It's from Inc. Magazine, One Weekly Habit That Will Push You to Peak Performance. It's by Laura Garnett. And Kerry, the last point, it says here, are you committed to having joy and groundbreaking results at work? I like that.
What I picked up, Mart, out of five or six of these questions, I found a thread that goes back to gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have gratitude in your heart and head and pass that on. And that is contagious.
Absolutely is contagious. So when you're working towards peak performance, it's kind of like driving a car. And sometimes it becomes routine, and sometimes you may actually go on cruise control. But this is a way, say, hey, listen up. Do I need to change something? Pay attention. Ask yourself these questions and take control of your success. That is what this is going to help you do. And this is whether you're a professional who seeks excellence, you're an entrepreneur, you're a small business owner, whatever. Holy moly, we are through already. So thank you again for being part of the Business Builder Show. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. Kerry and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support here in the studio. And a special thank you to Todd Erdley of Vidion Central for being our special guest. Our guest next week is Eric Martindale. Eric is the developer evangelist for BitPay. Whoa. This will be my first foray into what is called cryptocurrencies, of which Bitcoin is the best known. With all the news about this form of currency, this will be an interesting show. So we do our best on the Business Builder Show, so you can do your best. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolff.